911. We all know that as the emergency number that we call whenever there is a problem or an issue, whenever we need the police or the fire department or any type of health concern, calling the ambulance, we call 911. On top of that, now nearly 20 years ago, the terrorist attacks of September the 11th, 2001, now share that number, 911. So this number stands for calamity. It stands for trouble, for pending disaster. It is a cry for help when we are in troubled circumstances. About 3 years ago now, before we came to Clovis, when we were still in Monroe, Louisiana, I had a call from a dear friend, a man who was a deacon in a church at First Baptist Whitesboro, Texas, where we pastored for a number of years. Gene Huff was a pediatric dentist by trade. He was a good and godly man, and we just shared a deep friendship. Gene had gone through a difficult surgery, and he was having severe complications from that surgery. And he called me and asked me if there were any way that I could come to him. And so I left Monroe early one morning and drove about 4 hours to Whitesboro, Texas. And there I spent the day with Dr. Gene Huff and his family. And then later in the evening, I began the return trip back to Monroe. It was right around 9 o'clock at night, dark, and I was traveling east on I-20. I was near the town of Tyler, Texas, kind of going up and kind of an upgrade there in the road. It was a divided highway that I was on, where two lanes ran east, two lanes ran west, and then there was this area that they had sectioned off with grass and trees and so forth. So I'm traveling east about 9 o'clock, going up this incline, when all of a sudden, everything within me just became aware that something was wrong. My senses responded before my brain got into gear to understand what the potential problem was. Suddenly, I realized that as I'm going up this incline, there is another car traveling west in the eastbound lane in my lane. And all I saw, again, were headlights. But in the period of time that it took me to realize cognitively what was happening and at the speeds we were traveling, I swerved just in time to miss a 75-mile-an-hour head-on collision with this car. I pulled over to the side of the road when he passed, still heading the wrong direction, and collected myself, and then guess what I did? I dialed, no, I wasn't in the mood to pray for him at that point. I dialed, pulled out my cell phone and dialed 911. And I alerted the authorities that there was someone either in a medical need, drunk, high, or deeply confused, that was heading toward Tyler 75 miles an hour in the wrong lane at night. 911. It was indeed a very real emergency. I'm sure that you've had those types of circumstances too. Whether you called in a circumstance that you observed or whether yours was the problem. But I want you to know this morning that not only does our country have an emergency 911 number, but God also has an emergency 911 number. Only His emergency number is 9111. Psalm 91, verse 11. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. God's emergency number, 9111, Psalm 91:11, for He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. For God shall commission, charge His angels with your watch care as you go about your life. There are a couple of key words in this passage that will help us to understand just how God's emergency system works. For He commissions His angels to first keep us. Keep us. It's a strong, powerful word. It's a word that is defined as watching over, guarding, protecting, keeping, observing, preserving. There are 24 different Hebrew forms that are translated into the word keep. But the psalmist chose this specific Hebrew term. And it has this nuance. It has this particular definition of watching and guarding and protecting the people of God. You know, there are so many misconceptions of angels, probably more today than at any other time in history. And most of those come about, the misconceptions, from the media. Everything from the little cute, plump, non-threatening cherubs that kind of fly around and play together and shoot arrows at people, to angels, the belief that they have a deity-like quality and they are to be worshipped. The decade of the 1990s, I still remember this as if it happened yesterday. The 90s were the decade of angels. Angel churches began to pop up everywhere. People were praying to angels. People were seeking counsel from angels. People were wanting to know life direction from angels. Some New Age teaching told people that they needed to communicate with their particular angels to receive their angels' blessing. And then there's the belief, the lie that just won't die, the false belief that after death, we become angels. Please know that is simply not true. The Bible says they are created beings, spiritual beings, created right before the foundation of the world. Created as messengers to serve God. And although they can and have had past experience with their own willful pride, they were created to serve God. They are immaterial, that is, without physical bodies, unless God chooses for them to appear in body. They are invisible, unless God chooses for them to become visible. Hebrews 13:2 reminds us that there are times when we encounter a stranger when in fact that stranger is an angel from heaven. There are essentially three classifications of angels. There are the cherubs or cherubim, plural, seraphs or seraphim, plural, and then there are the archangels. But their primary function is to respond when we hit 9111. And we call out to God, and God sends His own team of spiritual warriors to watch over, to guard, to protect, and preserve. Why then would God do such a thing? Well, we're told just a couple of verses later, in verses 14 through 16 of Psalm 91, it is because we have set our love upon God, so God will deliver us. He will set us on high because we have known His name. We will call upon Him, and God will answer. He will be with us in time of trouble, deliver us and honor us. With long life, He will satisfy and show us His salvation. Another passage that tells us some of the work of these spiritual beings is Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. This word encamps means to encircle. It means to literally build a circle of protection. It is to station these warrior angels all around us. And not only do they encircle us, but they deliver us. The word literally means to pluck us out of the hands of the enemy. So the works of these holy warriors, powerful, wonderful, exciting, and so very comforting. We call upon the Lord, 9111, and God sends this regiment, this company, to encircle, protect, preserve, watch over, to guard, and then, if need be, to pluck us out of the hands of the enemy. This study I'm entitling, it's going to be several weeks. This study I'm calling Angels, the Guardians in Service of God. And we're going to look at four specific attributes of angelic protection. Four types of help four types of protection and four kinds of rescue that angels provide for us at God's command. For instance, we're going to see how angels can and do deliver us from physical danger. Then how angels can and do deliver us from emotional distress. How they can and do deliver us from spiritual weakness. And how they can and do deliver us from eternal death. I'm telling you, I'm excited about sharing with you the activity, the work of these angels from God. And it is my hope that not only in the conclusion of our study, but at each point, at each part, that you will fall on your knees and you will say, God, I thank you for these ministering agents from heaven. I thank you, Father, that you send them to be my protector and my help. Matt?
911, what's your emergency?
There has been a really serious car accident. We have a vehicle that is upside down and on fire. These people are trapped and we need the jaws of life. We need help now.
Four lives intersected on Highway 6 in Crawford, Texas that day. Sherry and Cody Clemens, Lisa Bowden, and Anthony Russo all met in the midst of tragedy. But all say they had a supernatural encounter on that rain-slicked road that changed their lives forever.
I was on my way home from work. It had been raining all that day. I just lost control.
Lisa's SUV slid into the path of Anthony's oncoming car.
I remember seeing the car come through my windshield, and that's it, I blacked out. I remember waking up.
The impact flipped Lisa's SUV multiple times, crushing Anthony's car. Both drivers were trapped.
My feet were on fire. The car was filling up with smoke.
There was fire coming in through my left door, and it had burnt my arm and my leg. I didn't feel no pain or anything like that, but I just knew I wasn't going to die this way, and the steering wheel was stuck in my chest. I couldn't move.
Anthony blacked out a second time. Lisa began to pray.
I just remember saying, God, help me. And it seemed like when I had that peace come over me that everything was going to be okay, is when Sherry showed up.
Sherry and Cody Clemens saw the wrecked vehicles and raced to help. Sherry called 911. Then she cried out to God for a miracle.
I could just feel this, the gift of faith, stirring inside of my chest that nobody is going to die here today. Nobody. I'm not going to watch anybody die. God is going to show up.
The couple ran over to Lisa's burning SUV. Cody climbed inside to try to pull Lisa from the growing flames.
God gave me the courage to go in there because I told him right there I was scared. I didn't want to die. I didn't want to burn up. The next thing I know, I'm in the car.
I was upside down and the seatbelt, I kept trying to release it, but it wouldn't release.
I handed her the knife and she cut the seatbelt. She fell to the roof. The next thing that happened was that both her and I realized that she wasn't coming out of the vehicle. The roof had been crushed, and there was not much room, maybe less than 8 inches or for her to get through.
In a split second, the impossible situation turned into a divine rescue.
When I reached out, we grabbed each other's hands. There was another set of hands that grabbed our hands.
As I saw Cody's hands, I saw a set of just white hands around his. As he started pulling me through, it was just a burst of white light.
Before I knew it, we were both outside the vehicle.
Sherry, who had been standing next to the SUV, witnessed the whole thing.
God sent an angel to pull Lisa out of that car. And I saw this bright white light. And then I saw these hands reach past me where there was no room. And they grabbed a hold of Cody's hands and Lisa's hands. And all of a sudden it was like, boop, Cody and Lisa were on the grass next to me.
It could only be God's angels pulling me through there.
But the worst was far from over. A few feet away, Anthony lay unconscious, with no way to escape the fire consuming his car.
There was this huge explosion, and the flames just completely rolled over the car and over Anthony, just consumed it in the black rolling flames. And I just screamed, I said, God, send your angels now.
At that moment, another eyewitness saw a second miracle unfold.
I was just crying out, God, you've got to help this man. You've got to help this man. And he seemed to just emerge through the door, and he just kind of floated out on the ground. So I believe that God sent supernatural angels here to help him get out of that vehicle.
Even though Anthony lost consciousness during the accident, he says there's no doubt who rescued him from the fiery crash.
Oh, it was definitely God. Definitely. I feel like what happened to me was a miracle.
I can only say that the Lord sent an angel and removed Lisa from the car because she was not going to come out of that car. And he also sent an angel and pulled Anthony out of his car because he was not coming out of that car either.
Soon after, firefighters arrived to douse the flames.
God had already pulled everybody out of the vehicles and everybody was on the grass. And all of a sudden we look over and everybody looks and here's this huge rainbow just completely encompassing the entire scene.
Lisa and Anthony were taken to the hospital with serious injuries, including broken bones and severe burns.
I went through 8 months of rehab and I'm able to walk. Recovery has been great. My burns have healed with no problems, no skin grafts. That was another miracle that happened.
It took me, I think, over a year. I was going between a walker and crutches, and then from crutches to a cane. I feel good to be walking with a cane, but I still want to walk without one.
2 years later, the miracle on Highway 6 remains etched in their minds. A day that desperate prayers were answered, precious lives were saved, and God orchestrated a heroic rescue.
He's an awesome God because he loves us so much. So I think it's his mercy, being covered and protected in the blood of Jesus. You know, and that's what it was. The angel of death or whatever, it passed over. He didn't have any right. He had no authority to take anybody's life that day because Jesus was there and he pulled him out.
God answers the fervent, heartfelt cry. Our fervent, heartfelt prayers, God answers those and he delivers us.
I want to draw quickly three conclusions from our introduction into the realm of angels. Three applications. Point one is this: always be aware of God's sovereign sight over us. Psalm 139, 1 through 7. O Lord, you've examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up, you know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I'm at rest at home. You know everything I do. And then David admits, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. At first reading, this almost sounds like David is bemoaning the fact that, man, I try to get away from God and I can't. I want to run, but he always finds me. But in fact, this is a statement of pure comfort, that no matter where I go, no matter what I do, every day, at every moment, at every second of my life, the eyes of the Lord are upon me. If a sparrow can't fall to the ground without the Lord knowing it, if he knows the number of hairs on our head, he watches our every moment. Just like the parent of a child, and that little child lets go of the parent's hand And for the first time in that child's life, he's going to cross the street in front of his house without his mom and dad, just like that parent who will bird dog at every step of that child in those new steps, new experience, potential danger. The eyes of God are constantly upon us. Not only does God watch over us, but we need to admit to ourselves that he is always at work for our good. Psalm 121, 5 through 7, the Lord watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. Psalm 91, 14 through 15, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust my name when they call upon me. I will answer them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. And then finally, there are times when God will miraculously and supernaturally intervene, providing a miracle by angelic rescue. God has used angels in the past to blind and confuse armies, causing their defeat. He has shut the mouths of lions, and he has opened prison doors. He has revealed to mankind the glory of the Lord as well as the righteous indignation. He has led people, the angels have led people out of trouble and stop them from heading down a road to destruction. You may have not had an angel experience. In fact, you probably not have had an angel experience like the one that we saw in the video. But let me assure you, you have had angel experiences. I am absolutely convinced that what we often think and what we often call as coincidence, as karma, as luck, it has nothing to do with fate and everything to do with the Father. It has nothing to do with chance and everything to do with the cherubim and the seraphim. It has nothing to do with good fortune, and it has everything to do with these guardians in the service of God. Open your heart this morning to the reality that God is for you, and that he watches over you to protect you, and that he commissions these supernatural, spiritual beings to cover, to protect, and to rescue. He's done it before. He'll do it again in your life. What a blessing it is to be able to cry out to God. Not only God help me, but send angels to protect my children. Send angels to protect my mate. Send angels to protect in travel. Let the angels encamp around us and rescue us from danger.